Welcome to the show, guys. Welcome. Welcome to my studio.
Are you talking to us?
Yes.
To your welcome. Studio?
Welcome. It's great to be here. What are the chances? You're in Los Angeles.
I'm in Los Angeles.
Does this look exactly like, it looks nothing like the studio I've seen you in.
No. You can't even hear cows. Nothing.
You hear airplanes.
Airplanes.
It's a yes. I set up a studio right by, I wanted a sound stage. So Where can you get the most sound? At the end of a runway.
It's pretty quiet. Guys, we are in Los Angeles. Howie Mandel, Alex Mandel, welcome. Welcome.
Hi. Say hi to me.
You guys, see him all
you
time.
Want me to welcome my son?
You guys can catch up if you'd like.
How are you?
Good. Yeah. I'm good.
Thanks for having me on Roman's podcast.
I had to pay him to have you on it.
I know. This is great. It's fantastic.
This is exciting. We actually have quite the history together.
We really do. You are...
Do you want me to get you a lower chair?
No, I just wanted... your guy said... Jay said, speak right into the mic. So I'm speaking... I just want to make sure that the sound is good. Does it sound good?
It sounds great.
Yeah, the people at home, are they enjoying it?
If we could just get an extra mic to cover up more of his face. Can we get two mics just to make sure we have the audio right?
Does it look good?
Howie, sit
look
up.
Look at the monitor.
Howie, sit up.
Who are you, my
wait,
mom?
I give you one drink of caffeine and you're losing your mind.
Okay. You're not supposed to give him caffeine.
I'm not supposed to have
I gave
caffeine.
Him a little bit
Rich
of caffeine.
Rich just took it from you,
I
by
know,
the
they
way.
Took it. I'm not supposed to have caffeine. But enough about my health issues. Why am I supposed to take a sauna?
Oh, we asked if you did sauna. You've had some heart issues.
And you think that putting yourself in over 120 degrees for 20 minutes a day, four times a week, is
it's science.
The answer?
But where did you hear it?
It's cardiovascular
from
health.
Andrew Huberman. He's like a scientist. He has his own podcast.
Andrew Huberman. Well, if he's got a podcast, he must know what he's doing. If you want to know how to cure cancer... Listen to a podcast.
He's really good.
Is it
good.
The heat or can you do like a steam shower?
No, it's the heat. It's the extreme
heat. So you could
heat.
Do a steam shower because
well, we live here in LA. You know, for a good portion of the year, it's 120 degrees, yet a lot of people in town have heart attacks.
You know what? Don't do it, Die. You know, I don't really care. I don't really care either way, Howie.
So we do have a history.
We do have a history.
You are the OG. I love you. My son, Alex, introduced me to you. Probably a decade ago.
It has been a while.
Yeah. Has it been a decade?
Yeah. I still
more than a decade.
How weird Alex was
how
when
word,
he walked up.
Howard.
How?
You were saying something else. I thought you were mispronouncing my name.
Playlist Live VidCon.
No, it was VidCon.
Yeah. He came up to me, and he's at this point I had a couple people coming up to me, so it wasn't too crazy. But he's like, "Hey, my dad's a fan." I'm like, "Cool kid."
I was
cool, man.
Yeah, because I had been showing him I was a fan because we were. I mean, our whole family. I was raised with hidden camera pranks. That's all he ever did. Wherever we went, he had like a briefcase that had your glasses in it to do that. So I was like, watch this guy's doing on YouTube.
He's talking about a briefcase with my glasses in to do pranks. It's not so that I could see the pranks more clearly.
Oh, it's
I used to carry hidden camera glasses and the
big camera.
Oh. You got to fill in the blanks.
You know, I leave a little bit of mystery.
Right. But just if I hadn't been here to add to your story, people would say, you know, Howie Mandel, you know, whenever he did pranks, he had to wear glasses.
Yeah.
Which he carried in a briefcase.
But you were doing pranks, and I was like, you got to see this guy.
Yeah. And you did. We hooked up. It was fun. It was
you didn't
exciting.
Hook up.
We
didn't you hook met. Up.
Yeah. I don't know about that. You weren't there. You weren't there either.
I wasn't.
Actually, right after talking to you, Dennis
left,
is like,
he left my
he's
son
like, you got
to
some
marry
time?
You.
I was like, what? He goes, you want to come up? I got some things to show you in the hotel room.
It was glasses.
Yeah. It was hidden camera glasses.
Yeah.
Well, you had them?
Yeah, we did. We used to use them. Yeah.
Yeah, in the old days.
Yeah, but ours didn't have wires and cables and batteries.
You're making fun of old school?
I'm just saying, the new tech is great. New tech is great.
Are you wearing something? Are you wearing like hidden camera contacts?
You know what's crazy? I'm recording you right now.
Just through your eye? Just through your pupils?
There's a camera there.
Oh.
Imagine if you did a podcast with just hidden camera glasses so it was always just what you're seeing.
No, that's weird. No, it wouldn't. I bet you that would do really well.
Yeah, people would be more open.
What would Stanley Huberman say?
Andrew Huberman.
Whatever you call him, you call him.
I'll send it to
He'd
you.
He'd probably say you get radiation from wearing them glasses. Some type of probably. Electronic radiation, the eyes, the retinas.
What kind of medicine EMS. Does he practice?
Oh,
he's
he practices
a
lot.
He just does studies.
He's just a scientist.
Yeah.
Is he a doctor?
Scientist. I don't know.
You really haven't heard any perks from doing the sauna? Or how about ice baths? How about
I do that. I've done that.
Okay, why do you do that?
Because it resets your for mental health issues.
Who said?
Science. I saw it on a podcast.
All of a sudden, Facebook
video.
You
can do the ice bath, but not the sauna?
You should do both.
The ice bath, we did it, remember we did it at the Zenyatta.
It's yeah, horrible. The cold plunge.
Cold plunge.
It's one of the worst things ever.
That's hard.
You don't think that's healthy?
I believe it is healthy. Definitely. It's very hard for me to do.
It is hard, but it's harder for me to sit for 20 minutes in 120 degrees than it is to do a cold plunge for 6 minutes.
You can do six?
How long were we in the cold plunge?
I don't think
probably,
it was
probably 60 seconds.
Yeah. I was told 6 minutes.
I might have been. That might have just been a swimming pool.
But apparently, that's a good. It's supposed to reset everything in your. The two things that I do for health now. Bill Maher, who also has a podcast, told me to, which I did. I jump up and down almost every day.
I seen that. I thought you were just excited to see me.
No, but it's good for your lymphatic system. Do you know about that? The trampoline.
You probably do lymphatic drainage massage. Yeah.
What are you doing?
They rub it all out.
Nipples.
Yeah, but you went like this.
You looked at his wife and said, "You probably drain your lymph."
You probably
and
know.
You,
about
and you just and you twisted.
We're close. Technically, we've taken a shower together, the three of us.
Oh my!
Oh, we did.
When you say which three are you talking?
I'm not even going to explain anything. I'm leaving certain things out of the story.
I forgot about that.
Well, we've also taken a bath together.
That's true.
Yeah,
we. You were telling me like, "Oh, that tickles."
That was after a lot of shots.
Howie, you don't even know us.
I've never been this uncomfortable. So you've taken a bath with my... Well, it doesn't matter what it's for. That's what everybody in the porn industry says.
It's technically a shower.
You know, I had sex with 30 people all at once. You did? Well, it was for a video.
Paid for my kids' school.
You know that Van Nuys, where you are right now, you're in Van Nuys, California. Do you know what it's most famous for?
No.
You have no idea, do you?
No.
This is the hub. This is the epicenter of porn.
I was wondering why you had a studio here.
I would imagine at some point in the history of this building,
it's been a hot spot.
Three people have taken a bath together.
I think there was four of us, right?
There was four of us in the show.
Five.
Was it
five?
Yeah,
it was.
It was Lori
and Kevin.
And Kevin.
Lori and Kevin, my niece?
No.
Who did you take a bath with?
Well, me. I only took a bath with Roman.
And an alligator.
I have done that.
I don't understand.
Our viewers are so lost right now. Actually, the real viewers will know exactly what we're talking about. Yeah. It's all on camera. It's all on camera.
Do you do everything on camera? You live your life on camera?
Whose podcast is this?
Oh, you're right. I'm not going to ask any more questions.
No, you know, we...
You'll come and do my podcast, and then I'll ask you that.
100%.
Yes. That'll be the opening question.
Okay. I'm not going to answer it then.
Oh. No, not now.
Yeah, we'll answer it later. On yours.
We'll save it.
Can we spend this podcast planning my podcast?
I mean, we're down. Let's take it back from the beginning. We hooked up. We did, Howie. I don't know what to tell you. And then what happens? I think we came out to do your show. What show was that?
Deal with it.
Theo Von?
Yeah, with Theo Von was the host of Deal With It. It was on TBS for 3 years, and you were nice enough to come out and do one of the pranks with us.
Oh,
but I was before that, and that's what he told you when he saw you at VidCon. I was a big fan of your pranks online. Mm. I thought of you as just a prankster. But you're so much more.
I'm so much more. Explain to my viewers.
That you're so much more?
Tell the people listening. No. Yes, we got to work together there, which was an honor for me. Mm-hmm. Like, go on.
No, it was an honor for me. I got to tell you something. I've been doing television. This is something that I'll probably say again on my podcast, but I want to tell you anyway, as much as I could tell you. You know, somebody who's been doing television for over 45 years now, I've been on television. Mostly. I've done some other things too, but mostly people know me from television. And my son, Alex, right here, got me fascinated in this world of digital, of YouTube. And the first person that he had shown me that I got to know and I got to watch and be a fan of more than anything I was watching on television was you.
That's awesome, man.
It was. And I saw this coming. And the reason that we're in this building right now is because of those beginnings. Because I had a traditional kind of upbringing in show business. And I had big deal at, I had a deal at Universal, and I used to have an office at Universal Studios for like 7 years. And then I left that because I wanted to do things that were not just traditional, were not just, they wanted me to produce and come up with ideas for linear television, normal old people stuff. Mm. And I felt like I was throwing, you know, I always use this analogy, but, you know, if you throw a party, if your parents go out of town and you throw a party, you probably have one of the best parties you'll ever have. But yes. If your parents say...
He doesn't know about that?
No, there has been some stories, right?
There's some fantastic stories.
I will tell that story.
That's a good one.
Okay. But if your parents say, you can have your friends over and throw a party, it's never as much fun, right?
Mm.
And that's what it was like working at Universal. So I came here and bought this building. And this is just where my friends, my family, my son built out my whole studio here and taught me about podcasting, showed me YouTube, TikTok, put me on TikTok, put me on Instagram. And this world is so much more interesting, so much more engaging, so much more, it's so much more, what's the word that I'm, creative than television.
Yeah, and you also own it all.
And you can make a lot of money. Is that what you're saying?
Well, it feels, I'm not from TV, but it feels like you're more tied in with other owners versus YouTube and TikTok. It's yours.
You make your own
decision.
Baby.
It's your freedom.
Yeah, there's that. But you know what? That's even the last, at this point in my life, you're right. You should own your own IP and you should be in control of whatever is out there. But even more than that, the creativity that you can do here and now is so much more than you can do in traditional television. Like even what you're doing right now, even this podcast. If I had, and I did at one time, I had a talk show. So I would be held to talk to you in 5 or 6 minute clips, or you would have to talk to me in 5 or 6 minute clips, and then we'd have to throw to a commercial. Not that there are any, they're not any, you have sponsors, right?
Yeah, ad reads.
Yeah. But you have ad reads, but they can go, you can put them any place you want.
Yep.
Within a certain, but the point is that I knew, like when I'm doing talk shows, have you done talk?
No.
No. So in going and doing a talk show, they'll say you're going to be on for 2 segments. You have 6 minute segment followed by a 4 minute segment. And then there's a producer that will call me the day before to ask me the questions that are going to be asked or what do you have stories for. So it's not really a conversation like you and I are having. And if it's not really a conversation, then it's not creative.
It's a disconnect. There's a disconnect.
There totally is.
Well, that was what we were talking about too. When early in the beginning, you were very interested in like TV production or movie production. And I watched him, and every time he would come out with a show or do anything like that, we'd watch it, and he's like, this isn't what I created. Like, they ruined it. And you have these people that are not the creatives making the decisions on what they should do creatively. And then he, even at that time, envied people like you who are doing those pranks and have no one telling them that they can or cannot do that.
The fact that you and I are sitting talking to Roman and Brittany, we're just having a conversation. In fact, it's the opposite. I came in and said, how you doing? He goes, I don't want to tell you now. We'll talk later on camera. But that makes it real. This is a real conversation. I'm not repeating things that we already talked about 10 minutes ago. He's not telling me to tell a story because he thinks it would be, well, you want me to tell a story. It'd be great for
you. I'm about to get to that.
Okay. But you know what I'm saying? It's very natural, which makes it relatable, makes it engageable. And if anybody's interested in hearing anything me or my son have to say, then they'll click on it. But they're clicking here because they like you guys. And
There's a chance.
Whether I'm here or not, you're getting a lot of clicks.
We've had some successful moments. We toilet papered your house.
You know, your successes seem to be my failures.
I think a funny part of that story that I don't think.
Tell me the funny.
I'm going to. This is hilarious.
For me, just to find out the funny part would be great.
The funny part was the amount of hours it took to do it, and then we just left.
You had a flight right after.
Who cleaned that up? That's the funny.
My arm was sore for days.
Oh, I was hurting.
Shoulder.
Oh, I feel so bad.
Howie, we were hurting.
From throwing toilet paper. They keep eating my house.
I don't know how many millions of views we got, but I was hurting. How hard was that?
I thought it was going to be a lot of fun. The idea of throwing all the toilet paper, and then you get past even like 50 rolls.
Well, the issue is that Howie happens to have 50-foot roof on this house.
Oh, my fault.
And you,
my fault. You had that to go their big. Arms were sore.
You had to go big.
Yeah, go big. And how many hours did it take you to get all that toilet paper up there?
What'd you say? Not as many as it took to clean it.
That's the issue.
I think you. Did you hire a cleaning?
Yeah. How no, did well, the
people don't realize
go?
This is years ago. I did hire and paid. Did you make money with that video?
Probably a few bucks.
Yeah, didn't you? And you got a sponsorship. There's probably an integration with the toilet paper company.
No, I wish there was. That would have been good.
That would have been a good idea.
Truck company that you know, brought the toilet paper with.
We started the toilet paper depletion.
Well, that's what I was going to say. At the beginning of COVID, everybody was running out to get toilet paper. And it had all been used on my house a couple of years earlier. So you are the reason.
Do you remember how much toilet paper that was?
I do.
I think you got... Was it 5,000 rolls or is like 3,000 rolls or something? That's a big difference, but I don't know.
It is a big difference.
Do you know that there are children overseas with diarrhea and you are wasting toilet paper on my house for one video? There are people who are just pouring out feces that don't have the means to wipe, don't have toilet paper.
You have to appreciate how much thought went into it. I remember you called me, you go, I've been thinking about this. We shouldn't buy single ply. It's cheaper, but when we throw it, it's going to break.
Yeah, we went
it
in.
It needs Wait, to be that, good
that's
quality.
That's the kind of thought that went into two ply?
And I was like, oh, yeah, you're right.
Oh, yeah, you're right. You remember the conversation as if it was yesterday.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, that wasn't a fun.
Well, you haven't been back to your house yet.
Howie's house was destroyed, and you hired a cleanup crew. Do you remember what that cost?
Yeah.
You do? How much?
I do.
$2,000.
It was more than $2,000.
More than $2,000.
Well, because you had to have people get up on the roof,
which you need oxygen at those levels.
No, but there were people. It's very because I live in a house that is of it's a Spanish kind of
has the tile roof
clay.
So you can't
tile.
So you can't walk on them.
Right.
So they have to get them.
Above, kind of, and then lift the toilet paper. It was a lot of a little bit of scaffolding. I had to rent scaffolding, and I had to hire somebody. Why is this funny? Why is this the funny part?
I just remember, man.
But
that,
you left. I thought,
that
okay.
That video went
And my
so
son's, bad. It went viral.
It
right?
went viral.
Oh, great.
The talk show, you were on talk shows talking about it. I think you liked it.
No.
I think you
liked were
it.
On talk shows talking about it. Yes, I talked about it. So what did I get out of it? So if I do a talk show, I will tell you, that a talk show pays me, regardless, even today, something called scale. So I will make like $300. I will get $300 or $350 to do a talk show, and then I have agents, and then there's tax. So I probably end up with $75 a talk show. I probably did three or four talk shows, so I probably made $425 talking about, and it wasn't to talk about, I just happened to talk about the mess that my house was. So, but I had paid more than $2,000 to $3,000 to clean up the house. So now I'm out, $1,600. How much did you make on the video?
I wish I could look it up. That would be fun.
How much do you make in a video that has like a million hits?
Well,
if it just has
this
1 million,
has over 20 million.
I'd have to imagine that video. God, I don't even remember how many views it has.
Doesn't matter.
I think it's like 23 million or something.
I think it's 20 million.
Well, just how much do you make a million?
Well, there's an issue because pranks were short, so the earnings wasn't as much.
Oh shit!
But I'd have to just guess that was probably a
20,000.
Probably.
Yeah, and I think you did have a deal with the paper company, if I remember. It was all the same brand.
I don't think I did.
I think the only paper company we did after that was the Scott Tubeless Rolls.
Yeah, that had nothing to do with
the video. That was the car crash one.
Yeah. Yeah, that had nothing to do with the toilet paper. I paid that.
But okay, so minimum 20,000.
Let me teach you something. You got to invest to make money. You got to take your money, use it to make more money. I invested in that toilet paper.
But he's smart enough to invest your money for him to make money.
Wait, so is the fact that it's cost me like $3,000 or $4,000 to clean it up alone? Because you guys left.
Well, you had help. You had
I hired somebody. And then I got to talk about it two or three times on national TV. And here we are years later, still reminiscing about the money I've spent and the money you made. So where is it? I feel like I've invested. Where's my return in this investment?
I'm going to get it to you. I'm going to get it
Where
to you.
Where is my return?
He's giving you exposure right now.
No, this was your friend. You brought your friend over. How come every
Alex
time?
Alex has been nothing but good to me.
He does that to other people too. You know the other story about we had a house. I had a house at the beach, and I went out on my wife and I. His mom went away for a weekend. Do you know this song? This
music video? Something about?
No, I was asking him. Yes,
something about a music video. I vaguely remember.
What's it called? Fire. What's it called?
Burning up.
Which is how I felt. When I returned, he had rented out our house. He did ask. He said, is it okay if I have a party with my fraternity at the house? And he wasn't in a big fraternity. There was probably 20 people in his fraternity house.
A little more, yeah.
26 people.
Okay.
At his fraternity. Can he have them over to the beach? And it'll be a fun day in Malibu for his friends. And I said, yes. So I said he can have a party. He didn't say 26 people, but he said with the fraternity.
You knew it'd be pretty small group.
He has my son, if he wasn't Alex Mandel as you know him, he'd probably be a lawyer because everything he does is got like this invisible fine print.
Because he'll always careful about what I say.
Right, but you don't read between the lines. Because if I would have said, will there be, okay, you can have your fraternity over for a party. I didn't say, and anyone else? I didn't ask. So is it my fault? So I guess he met. Here's how I found out. I'm going to tell you an old backstory. I got a call from P. Diddy. And they said, P. Diddy said, somebody at P. Diddy's company said, they want to use your house for a music video. And I said, well, first of all, how do you know what my house looks like? First of all, no. I don't want my house to be used. The last time my house was used for anything, it was without my permission, and there was toilet paper all over it. So, no, I don't want my house to be part of a video. I don't want my house to be... But can I ask why you even think that my location would be perfect?
Mm.
They said, we saw the burning up video, and we think your house is perfect. And I said, what is the burning up video? And then I went to YouTube again. YouTube has not been great to me for a long time. I went to YouTube and I saw the burning up video.
And it's your house.
Yeah. So apparently this party that my son had asked for, he rented out. How did you get these people? How did you meet these people?
It was just through a contact through MTV. It was MTV doing it. They reached out to me and said, we heard you have a really cool place. Can we use your place for a music video? I said, there's no way. They go, well, if you have a party, it could be your friends too. We'll supply everything you want and we'll pay you. And then the question changed to how much?
And you decided to do this without
how much
knowing.
How much did you make? How much did you make?
They paid me 30 grand to do it.
So you made 30 grand. So there was probably...
We're doing pretty well.
So you made 20 grand with my house, my other house. You made 20 grand and I cleaned it up for 3,000. I had to pay somebody to, the water in the pool was not clear anymore when I came home.
It was brown.
Yeah. Brown.
From everybody's makeup and stuff. Feces.
Lack of toilet paper.
Yeah. Yes.
So I cleaned up that house. But anyway, you could put the clip in. Did they just watch the clip?
Probably.
No, I mean, the video starts. I wasn't going to be in it because I didn't want them to know. And the video starts. I don't know what I was thinking. And it's just him walking in and me high-fiving him thinking I'm all cool. And it's the first part of the video.
Did you
And I go, this is my house.
That your dad wouldn't see this?
Why would I see a burning up video? I wouldn't see the video unless somebody called me saying this is perfect for our video. I didn't watch that video.
So P. Diddy ratted you out.
Somebody from P. Diddy's team wanted to use a location. It was a location company called me. And I think that's what it was. I can't remember. It was years ago. But the point is that I saw this online and I go, oh, my God, there's my son. Oh, my God, there's my house. Oh, my God, there's 500 people in my pool. Oh, my God, they're riding our bikes. Oh, my God, there's one of my daughters home from college. Which I didn't
you got
know
the whole
either.
Family involved.
Oh, he got everybody involved.
It's a free party.
So they did a music video at my house, and he got $30,000, and I had to pay the pool man to refill the pool. And why does everything you guys do cost me money?
Have you ever considered, first of all, are you going to be home this weekend? they make a lot of convenient cameras now. Nest Cam, Simply Safe. You should invest. Put a little camera in your house.
Pay more money.
Well, the beauty of what's happened now is, you know, I'm an empty nester. These kids don't live with me anymore. This is when they were still living kind of with me. But I don't live with these, so I don't care what they do where they live. They have their own places.
But you've got, I've seen it, you've got the nice house.
Right, I deserve it. I've paid a fortune to keep it nice. I don't have the beach house anymore.
Well, I took you to Outback Steakhouse, so I'm pretty sure we're even.
Went to visit you, and he goes, let's go to a steak place.
Real fancy place.
Real fancy. You said fancy. In Ohio, I would think that in Ohio, in middle America, the best steaks, right? Because like you said, you can hear cows. You can't get fresher beef in anywhere in the world. And I'm thinking, oh, my God, I'm going to eat steak like I've never eaten steak before. I've been to the finest restaurants in Bel Air and Beverly Hills. I've been to the top. Like, this is going to be the Salt Bay. You know, this is not like Salt Bay. You know what that is? Salt Bay. Boom, that guy that does boom. Yeah. He throws that. But no, Roman's taking me to where beef comes from, to the home of beef. And I go out with his whole family. He goes, I go, oh, my God.
This is our spot.
Yeah. And he's going to splurge. And he owes me because thousands of dollars have been spent on my homes.
Howie, it was the least I could do.
And there he is.
It's the least I could do.
Leading me into Outback.
And it's in a strip mall. It's not even like its own Outback.
I don't know that. And I'm not knocking Outback. Hopefully they sponsor my podcast at some point. The food is good. I'm not saying the food isn't good. But it's just, it was a little surprising. And you think the fact that it was in a strip mall is the problem? It's location for you?
Yeah, maybe. Yeah, maybe.
If it was like his own little place next door.
There was an orthopedic, right. Yeah. There was orthopedic shoes. You can get like Dr. Scholl's and foot. So you had everything.
Honestly, only the finest for you, man. Like anytime you're out, we're going to take care of you.
Yeah, we don't usually go here, but you flew in all the way from L.A. with your crew and everything. I remember we took like the crew. We were shooting something at your house and the whole crew. It was amazing. Really. You
really
know how
different.
To wine and dine.
We really do.
Yeah. It's just about as nice as that hotel you were at, right?
I don't remember the hotel.
I don't think you stayed
there.
Didn't they
like steal your toothbrush or something?
What? Did they? I don't remember that. Nobody
Do you know that on our way to your house, we just start hearing sirens everywhere in the city, and we're at Starbucks, and the employee tells us we have to hide behind the counter.
Oh, yes, what? Was a hurricane.
Because there was a hurricane or tornado, and I don't even know if you know.
We don't get hurricanes, so probably it's a tornado.
But we were in Starbucks, and they go, we have a protective wall here, and we hid behind the Starbucks counter, all of us just sitting there.
It's the only time I've ever been involved in a tornado.
And the barista goes, you Howie Mandel. When we're sitting behind the, I don't know, we didn't whisper because the tornado, but.
I'm going to die with Howie. Yeah, Ohio's wonderful, isn't it?
So we went to Ohio, so I was in a tornado. I was taken to Outback.
And by the way, he's never been back. You never come back to Ohio, man.
I come back to Ohio a lot. I just don't go to Europe.
Just don't come near me.
I come to Ohio a lot. I play every market. I was. I haven't been out.
Every market? Oh.
What do you mean? Yes, 7-Eleven, Whole Foods. I don't really travel that much anymore since COVID. COVID freaked me out.
Yeah, how did you do with that? Because first of all,
I didn't.
Everybody, well, you're here, you've survived. Everybody knows you have the germ thing. A lot of people have this, but you're known for it. People know.
Well, I'm not the brand ambassador for the germ thing.
I'm gonna go do something.
No, I'm not. I have like mental health issues. I have anxiety and OCD and depression. So, COVID sent me into another. I had some problems. It was really hard for me to cope, and I probably overused alcohol and gummies and whatnot just to try to escape. And now I don't use anything because I've escaped that. I don't do anything in moderation. But it was really hard and really depressing and really, it was debilitating. I had a really rough time. No joking or anything. It was really, really rough. And I'm still on that side of coming out of it. I don't know that I've recovered. You know, when you have these problems, there was some safety or some comfort for, you know, I haven't shaken anybody's hand for 15 years, but, or being in a room and being, getting really nervous about possible germs or whatever, and having everybody around going, don't worry, nobody's sick, don't worry about that. But in a worldwide pandemic, there weren't a lot of people going, don't worry. You know, everywhere I'm going, people are masked and scared sick and didn't know. Or you watch the news and it scares the hell out of you. So I was living in this nightmare that, you know, I wasn't waking up and there was nobody around going, don't worry about it. So that was very, I was terrified for about 3 years. And I still have a problem going out. I lock myself where we are right now. I mean, I don't really travel unless I'm, you know, contracted to. So I've been having like all these makeup dates. I canceled a whole bunch of live dates where I'm doing stand-up comedy. And I've got to do shows in, I do Canada's Got Talent. I have to do America's Got Talent even during the pandemic. The one time I didn't go to restaurants or anything, and, you know, I ate at home. They made me go to the Kids' Choice Awards for Nickelodeon. And that was the first time I went out in public. And because I was on camera, they asked me not to wear a mask. And I got COVID.
You got it there. The only time he went out.
Nickelodeon.
Yeah. The Kids' Choice. They said, go to the Kids' Choice. They're going to give you an award. And, you know, for Yeah, they said, and we need to do it. It's good for press. It'll go viral. I went viral.
You went viral. Literally.
Literally. I got sick.
Well, you've made it out. It seems like COVID has died out a little bit. It's down.
Yeah, but that was pretty debilitating.
Is there some ease knowing that everybody's reacting more similar to how you live during COVID?
No, it's the opposite. You know, as far as somebody, you know, I'm medicated, mentally medicated, and I talk to a therapist. So it's very hard for me to, the best form of me getting through each and every day and whatever I do is distraction. Mm. So the fact that I can't distract myself because wherever I go, like even if I just go now outside, just seeing another person or one person wearing a mask or just seeing that on TV or just seeing one person in an audience wearing a mask is a trigger that there's something out there. Whereas, so life doesn't seem normal anymore, or the new normal is a hard normal.
Yeah, I think a lot of people don't understand the severity. Like if I ever said, hey, I'm going to be out in LA, I'm going to do some stuff with Howie, they're is he really, like, he won't shake your hands off? And they think it's a joke. But this is real life. Well, like, you really struggle with this for real.
I make a joke of it because that's the way it's easier to cope.
Yeah.
But, you know, if I wasn't laughing, I'd probably be crying. And you know, I don't know if anybody is aware of, you know, OCD, but Howard Hughes had OCD, the famous Howard Hughes. They made the movie, remember, with Leonardo DiCaprio. And if you remember, he left at the end of his life. And he was probably one of the most productive people. I think he invented the bra and airplanes. He did.
The bra and airplanes. That's a pretty...
Put down, somebody while you're here, Google Howard Hughes bra.
And airplane.
Well, you know, he did the Spruce Goose. You know what that is?
No.
The biggest airplane in the world. We have the hangar here in LA, right?
I don't know.
Do you know in Marina Del Rey, you know those half buildings? No,
I know those are Howard Hughes.
But he was here. He built the Spruce Goose. It was the biggest airplane ever. Does it say anything about bras? Howard Hughes and bras?
A bra designer.
What?
A designer.
He was a designer?
He created the bra. Women didn't wear bras. They wore corsets before Howard Hughes. He knew about aerodynamics.
He knew how to hold
things
up.
If you look at a jet in the airline, if you look at American Airlines, don't you think don't those look like all the engines sticking off the... I don't know.
We've lost Howie.
No, but the truth is, he was a very productive guy, and some of the things that you take for granted now, he had a hand in. I don't know if he had a hand in a lot of bras.
He did the light bulb too, didn't he?
No, that's Edison. That's Thomas Edison. But the point that I'm making is, he ended his life naked in the fetal position, not leaving his room, peeing into a bottle. And I can't tell you how close I am to that each and every day.
Thank God
I'm... You know, medicated, distracted, busy, doing other things.
So you'll never stop working.
He can't.
Right.
We see it when, like, even my mom will call and be like, hey, what are you doing? I think we're going to come out and hang out with you. I go, why? She goes, your dad, he just needs something to do. He's driving me nuts.
It's awesome that you just said that, because I'm constantly telling my viewers to not sit idle, to stay busy, to keep your mind busy. Because I don't deal with most of what you just said, but if I sit, I will create anxiety out of nowhere.
But I think that, you know, that's, I don't understand people who retire. I don't understand how to live your life if you wake up without any, like, and purposefully not have anything to do or anything that you're excited about. It doesn't have to be about making money. Mm-hmm. It doesn't have to be about becoming famous or having success or somebody's house with 50,000 rolls of toilet paper.
I did wake up excited that morning.
Yeah. But what I'm saying is that, you know, you have to have a purpose, and you have to find a purpose every day. And that's about living in the, yeah, I'm wearing the shirt now.
What's your shirt say?
Now. Doesn't it? Yes.
Yeah.
I can't read. It's upside down.
But you also always told me, Mon. Yeah. You always told me too that if I ever, like when I was looking for different jobs or anything, if I was ever excited about Friday because the weekend was coming or dreading Monday, then I'm doing something wrong.
Living for the Friday, living for the paycheck?
Yeah.
Well, I've talked about this.
Hump day, it's like, oh, I'm halfway to stopping.
And that's a norm, right? Mm-hmm. Most of people are living their life just waiting to, and what they're worried about Friday is just the ability to stop doing what they did. Not because they have any plans for the weekend, just, I don't want to do this shit, or hump day, halfway through this shit. You have to have something in life to look forward to be passionate about, to be excited about. And it doesn't have to be the thing that makes you money, makes you famous, makes you rich, makes you, you know, success is finding one thing in life, just one thing to be excited about. You know, people always ask me about success, even in show business. The day I started doing stand-up comedy on a dare. You know, it was a dare in 1977. Somebody dared me. I went to a comedy club and somebody dared me to get on stage. And, you know, I had a really good job at the time. I was engaged to be married at the time. But the minute I got on stage and I found that I was standing in this room acting like an idiot, everything I've ever been punished for, expelled for, gotten in trouble for, and there was a whole room of strangers just laughing. There was such joy. I just, every day of my life, I just try to recreate that or have that happen again. And I didn't care, even if I was a waiter, even if I was a caretaker, no matter what I was in life, as long as one day a week or I could find some club or some stage to get up and do that. I've been really lucky that has led to whatever I've done, and I've gotten some notoriety and I've gotten paid for it. But I promise you that's not the success. The success was finding something.
Finding that joy.
That brings you joy.
Whatever it is in life, it doesn't have to be about your job. Just whatever it is in life to bring you joy.
I love your story and your Crocs. No, I love your story of coming from Canada out here. You've told me this story, and I think it's incredibly inspiring. You've probably shared it 100 times. But living
84. I've told this story 84 times. This would be the 85th time, 85th. So it's not 100 yet.
But you were living in this upstairs or something where you had to refuel the generator or something. There was something
no.
that you'd have to.
So
there's it's something like that.
I know the story. I'll tell you the story.
Let me tell him.
You want to tell him? I could change it to refueling a generator.
But there was something you had to start at night, yeah?
No. Here's the story.
I was there.
No, I'm telling you. I stayed at Hollywood and Highland, one of the places that my wife and I had to live. I came out here, I told you, on a dare. I was at Yuck Yucks in Toronto, Canada, and we went to a comedy club. And they dared people to get up on stage. You know, they didn't dare. They said anybody who's an amateur wants to try this. You could try it, you know, Monday nights at midnight. And somebody at the table said, you should try it. And I went and tried it.
And you'd never done it before?
No. I did what I did, but not. If you look at the old YouTube, you probably put up one now. But if you look at the first specials I did and the first time I was on TV, the point was that I thought the joke, I don't think things through. And I thought the joke would be that somebody would go, ladies and gentlemen, Howie Mandel. There's no reason for me to be introduced anywhere and to be on a stage. And what happened, and I don't think of ramifications. That's part of my ADHD. You know, I just do it. And I think that's, Nike does that too, but I just do it. So I said, I'll go up. But I didn't plan anything. I didn't have anything. And once somebody went, ladies and gentlemen, Howie Mandel, you know, I realized I'm in front of a microphone. There's all these people standing here. This is embarrassing. I better come up with something. And I got terrified, but in a wonderful way, the way you get terrified on a roller coaster. I love roller coasters. I love thrill rides. And then I saw all these people staring at me, and I started going, okay, all right. And then they start giggling at my nervousness of going, okay. And then I didn't know why they were giggling. And I'm going, what? No, tell me, why are you laughing? Please don't laugh. It throws me off. And I was going, okay, what? And that became my act.
Just playing into the...
Well, just being scared, not understanding what was happening. And if you look at my old... I just put my hands in my pocket. And because I have OCD, and because when I was out in public, I didn't want to touch anything in a public restroom, I always carried rubber gloves. And I had a rubber glove, and I pulled it out of my pocket, and I didn't know what to do. And I pulled it over my head because it had nothing to do, and I blew it up with my nose, and it popped off my head, and the crowd roared. And I went, good night, and I ran off. And the guy who was the owner of the club, Mark Breslin, said, you got to come back tomorrow. And I go, why? What am I going to do? He goes, do that again. I go, what the f*** was that? You know? And then there was things that I had funny voices. Which later turned into Bobby's World and Gizmo and all those other things and Muppet
so
Babies.
Crazy.
But that's, I did that. I got that when I was a kid. I was choking on a piece of cake, and
you know that was a sound that came out
because I couldn't breathe, and it was like that's like when you take a balloon and you pull the nipple of it, and it goes. You know when it comes out like that. That's not my voice. I'm not talking like falsetto. That's just there.
Dude.
So even if I lose my voice, I can talk like this perfectly for hours and hours and hours.
So, but I had that voice, and I would do that on stage, and people would just laugh at that. But what happened is I came out here to California, and I started getting opportunities to do little jobs here and there. Because my friend who knew me from Yuck Yucks there, Mike Binder, who became a big director, writer, he put me on at the Comedy Store. Mitzi Shore saw me, and then they said, come out here. And I figured, just do it. I'm young. It's kind of like your story. I know your story. I'll bring it up on my podcast.
The generator story?
I'm going to get to the generator story, but how you started and how you didn't even have coins to buy pizza. And sure. You were doing things, and you said, is YouTube something? And I made a buck. I said, you know what? I'm young. If this doesn't work out, I know how to sell. I know how to do business. I was engaged to be married. I said to my wife, Terry, let's just move out to California. Let's try. I don't know what this show business is. And I didn't have a lot of money. I came out here and I got the room we stayed at. It was at Hollywood and Highland. It was the Holiday Inn. I got the room that had the motor for the revolving restaurant.
I knew there was a motor. I knew there was a
motor.
But
I wasn't working on it. I didn't have to grease it.
I thought you made a deal with this guy for the room.
Nobody would. I did make a deal that nobody would stay in a room that had a moving, that had the engine for the revolving restaurant.
You never took a wrench, never nothing.
I've never taken a wrench to anything. I've never fixed anything. I'm not mechanical. I'm nothing like my son. My son, Alex here, built this entire studio you're in. He built my entire podcast. I can't even turn on the light. I don't know how to turn on these. I don't know how to turn on these cameras. That
he's actually never owned a computer.
No.
Well, you run a phone good.
No, yeah. I don't.
You figured out a phone. Somewhat.
How many times have you?
A few times a day.
Yeah.
You're TikToking more than most teenage girls.
He taught me how to.
Yeah.
But you
run your TikTok.
I do, but I have people that help me, that work with my son. But even TikTok, one day we're sitting in a restaurant, I think like 4 years ago, and he says, Dad, I said, yeah. He goes, just clap like this, 1, 2, 3. And I go, okay. And he videotaped me clapping like this, 1, 2, 3. And if you go look at my first TikTok, it's probably at about 10 million now, right?
Yeah, I think they cut out the audio though now. No. So it's
unavailable.
Yeah. But it was... That was all he did. That's all we made him do. And it was.
And he shows me about an hour later or about a day later, he shows me. He goes, look, 3 million people watch this.
How
I go, what
wild
the
is
f-
that?
What the fuck did I do? Why are 3 million people watching me clap to this song? He goes, because it's trending. I go, what does that even mean that I'm trending? And like he told me, and he goes, and then he would go, Dad, dance like this. I go, okay. So I'm his little puppet. And he was telling me how to dance, what to do. And then, now I'm up to, 10.5 million people on TikTok. And I kind of have fun doing it. But it's not alone. I have a collaboration. There's a group of people here, everybody less than half my age, kind of telling me what works and what doesn't work. But I'm fascinated by that. My whole fuel in life, and it has always been, and I think this is the thing about aging. I think a lot of, as you get older, your curiosity becomes less and less. When you're a kid, you watch TV, you look at, you look at things online, you want to know what the style is, how kids are, what they're listening to, how they're dressing, what the latest trend is. You're really curious. And then you try to be like that. And then at a certain age, you don't care about what the new music is. You don't care about what the style is. And then you become an old person going, you think that's music? When I was a kid, this is music. That's not music. Or you go, that's the haircut I had when I was 40 and I'm not going to change it again. Or look at the, or they're dressing the way they've always dressed. You just stop.
You lock in.
And for me, it's not about being trendy or anything. I just have an interest. Listen, I was in comedy. I would see a video. Alex would show me a video and he'd go, look, there's 100 million clicks on this. And everybody, if I read the comments, they're going, this is the funniest thing I've ever seen. And I'd go, Alex, why is that? Like, tell me why that's funny. I don't really get why that's funny. And he would explain to me, and comedy isn't the same as it was when I started. Music is not the same as when I started. People don't dress like they do. But I'm fascinated to the point where it's a mental health problem I have, as Oprah coined it, which is kind of an older reference, but FOMO. I have a fear of missing out. So all day long and all night long, I'm on Instagram, I'm on Twitch, I'm on TikTok, I'm on whatever. I want to know what the latest game is. Wow. I want to know who's playing it.
Well, he's definitely out of anyone I've met, younger, older than me or anything, he's the most curious person I know. Every time new, like an idea with tech or something new that's coming out or a new style of music or anything like that, so often he's like, have you seen this? I'm like, yeah, I was just looking. He's like up to date on everything because he's very, very curious about
because I feel I don't want the world to pass me by. I feel that what happens is before people retire, they retire. And not from their job. They just retire from life when you don't care. Older people telling younger people that your music is, that's not music. My music is great.
Yeah.
Well, when you take music specifically, music speaks to young people and it speaks to whatever your experience is. That's what they're experiencing. That's what people listen to. They don't listen to, old crooners. I don't even know what a crooner is, but I just
thought it was an old, you just know, made it up.
The Beatles. I mean, they're
young people. I think though that the Beatles at that time, that music spoke to that generation. And
you couldn't write a song now going, I want to hold your hand.
Oh my gosh, no.
I want to hold your hand. That was a big hit.
That was a big hit.
And they're great.
Well,
and
that's the Beatles, your nightmare too.
You could probably still do it.
That's a great lie.
And your nightmare. You could. You'd probably just have to twerk and take your clothes off while you sing it.
Now you sound like an old man.
Yeah, you got to go hard. You said something to me once that was really stuck with me, and it was you were talking about selling out a show, and you were comparing it to, I think you were talking about New York City. You were like X amount of millions
Radio
of people.
Radio City Music Hall.
New York City.
That story I tell on every...
No. You said something to me about the show sold out, 3,000 people, whatever. And you're saying that wasn't the part that...
I focused on. I focused on 10 million people in the city, in New York City. That means that 9,997,000 people don't give a shit I'm in town. And didn't buy. And it's always like that. Even as a comedian, I could be in front of a room of 10,000 people and everybody's roaring and laughing, but I see one person in the second row that's sitting there with their arms crossed, not laughing. And then it just becomes about, what the hell's going on? Why is it? Everybody's laughing, but you focus on that one person because it's kind of like social media where, you're doing good and you're getting millions and millions of clicks and somebody sends you a comment.
Yeah.
That could eat away. And that's just one person that you don't know that is just trolling. And they're probably a real sad person sitting in their underpants alone with no job that said something that just ticked you the wrong way.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But that's an interesting way to think of things. I would be like, freaking sold out, 3,000 sold out. But to think 9 million didn't come.
I don't think you would think that way. I think that people who have made a choice to do what you, I think you're more similar to me than you think. I think people who have made a choice to pursue a public life, and that's what you're pursuing, mm-hmm. I think that you are more affected by a small amount of people that don't really matter than people would know. Mm-hmm. I just think that you can't be human and not be. And I would imagine that Britney says to you, don't worry about that. Don't think about that. 10 million people clicked on this. They love you. Next week, whatever your podcast is or whatever, that, you know, a million people, a half a million people love everything you said. You're focusing on the negative. And I think most people who have a need or a passion to entertain or to inform humanity that they'll never come in contact with are the people that focus because the people matter, because your followers matter, because you care about everybody that's watching and listening to this, that the one person who watched and listened to this, you're an easy target to troll. You just are, just by virtue of having this need. Wouldn't it be nice? Wouldn't it be nice to not care or not? I think this at the same time. I love what I do, but there are so many people that have no need to turn on a camera. Their passion would be maybe just a stamp collection, you know, and they just want the love of their wife and their kids and their family, and they don't have to impress anybody, they don't have to inform anybody, they don't have to entertain anybody.
I do think about that.
They don't have to make one other person smile more. They don't have to, but the point is, you do have an insatiable need. Yeah. That's why you're doing this. And I get it,
because I have that session right here.
But I have that need too. But if you have that need to reach out that far, then those people, any one of those people, can poke you harder than they can poke the average person.
Mm-hmm. I agree. Definitely agree. I can read 100, which is usually 100 fantastic comments, and then there's one that's negative, and that's the only one I remember.
Right.
Yeah.
And you want to know something? That person, if you really, you'd probably never meet that person, but that person, if you saw who it was that hurt you and that you're trying to impress or make a change for, they're not worth it. They really aren't. And they're not, they're probably not even a good human being.
Yeah, and if they saw you in public, they'd be like, oh my God, I love you.
Could be.
Well, I've talked about this too, but in public, when you take the path of being a public person, I think that people feel they can break every rule and they kind of own you. Because I've had people come up to me because I'm on TV, because I'm a comedian, they go, oh my God, you're so skinny in person, you know? And they, you know, I've just learned that, you know, growing up, if you have nothing nice to say, then you don't say anything. Who goes up to another human being and goes, ooh, you're so skinny? Like, that's not a compliment, and they don't mean it as a compliment. They're being, but they feel like they own you. But you can't say that to your wife. You can't say that to your friend. Or when I first shaved my head, I can't tell you how many people in person would go, why would you shave your head? You have beautiful hair. I don't like you bald. Well, maybe you don't, but you don't have to share that with me. You know, or you look better in person than you do on TV. Well, okay. Thank you. Because it's just you and me in this elevator, and you're telling me every time I'm projected to millions of people, I don't look good. So what do I do with that piece of information? And why are you sharing it? And it is just your opinion, but those are the comments. They're not in the comment section. Those are people feel that they can comment. They can say things. They can say things that are mean. They can say things that are brutally honest. Mm-hmm. For what good? Just to hurt my feelings.
It always shocks me how many people say those comments to you, and it's really weird.
That is weird. I've
all the time.
I feel like I've had just fantastic. You're at a different level of fame than I am.
No, I'm not. I've watched you. I've walked down the street with you in LA, and more cars were honking at you and screaming at you than ever at me. I don't believe that. I don't know what your lifestyle is in your personal life and whether you spend more time at home, because most of what you do is from your house or your home or whatever event that you did. But you know that if you are out in public, people will say things not with the intention of hurting you, but they are hurtful. You know, just because they feel like they own you and they could say anything to you, like they're your brother. They're not your brother. And, you know, it's like I was talking to somebody else the other day about my 15-second rule, even if it's a great compliment, you know, like then it turns bad. They'll go, Roman, Roman, I love you. I watch every one of your videos. You are so inspiring. You are so wonderful. I love you and I love your family. My family, now, if you stay too long and not walk away, they go, my family doesn't get it. Nobody in my family
starts going degrading.
Right, likes you or even gets what you're doing and even understands why I like you. But I think, don't listen to what they say. I think you're the best, you know? Or, right? They always do things like that.
Get a little down. Okay, let's back it up. When did success happen?
The minute I'm telling you.
The minute I was born.
The minute Alex was born. Well, I know that. But you
finding comedy.
His success. I wasn't saying. Yeah, for but myself.
When did you? What job did you have before comedy?
I had a bunch, but I was I had carpet stores. Right when I popped in comedy, I was selling commercial lighting with my family, with my father. I had two carpet stores, and I was also very entrepreneurial, and I still am. My entrepreneurial spirit outweighs my creative spirit. I like doing business, and I'm always doing business. Even now, I do a lot of things that have nothing to do with show business.
No, I see it. It's mind-blowing.
Yeah, even further than technology and things, I'm in real estate. I've always liked business. Mm. So I was doing business. I was making investments. The reason I came down here to California is I had bought the rights to this thing called the Uncle Sherman doll, which was this, you would see it in joke stores. Do you know what this is?
No.
Oh, I bought the rights. It was a stuffed doll of an old man, and it wore a trench coat. And when you opened the trench coat, he had these dick and balls. It was really funny. And I had shipped them, the manufacturer was down here in California, and I had shipped them to Canada. I can't remember how many, like hundreds of them, to Canada. And at the border, they got stopped because they said I was shipping pornographic toys over the border. So I had to ship them back. And then I shipped the dolls separately. And then I had these stuffed balls and dicks that I had shipped because I was going to put them together in Canada. I was going to, it's like I was just buying the parts and then I would assemble it in Canada. So the dolls came through. And then they stopped these crates of dicks and balls. So I was out here on a meeting to find out how I can get the dicks and balls into Canada.
That's serious business right there.
Well, you know, you asked when you first found success.
you're a smuggler. You started as a smuggler.
So wait, I didn't answer the question.
No, maybe it was
maybe success. You did answer the question.
No, but I was saying... Then he said, what were you doing before?
Yeah, that's true. So what happens with the dolls?
Right. You did ask.
What happens with the dolls?
Why aren't you listening to the podcast?
How do you not know about the dolls?
I don't know about the dolls. Why did you keep the dolls from us?
I didn't even have kids. What do you mean I didn't keep the dolls from you?
You keep everything.
He wants one.
I don't have the dolls anymore, but
I want Uncle Sherman.
He's bad.
It's not really your uncle. And I have 300 sets of nuts and dicks. I'll get to you after the podcast. I don't know where they are. I never got them. But I was down here on business. I was successful. I was making a living. And then I said, I'm going to give this a try. But I felt like I understood that the fact that I found something that I was really excited about, I felt successful. Mm. I felt like I had found because no matter how much money I make, no matter how famous I get, people always say, like, how do you want to be remembered? You won't be remembered. Nobody will be remembered. Nobody. Mm. You know, like you're mentioning the Beatles, my grandkids don't know the Beatles. Mm. You know, no matter how famous you are, I can read articles about the most famous guy in the 1920s who was a big movie star and whatever. It doesn't really matter. Mm-hmm. So the success is how you live your life and how you can find complacency, how you can find, like, how can you be happy and how can you be content and how can you live and just love and your family and the people you care about. So that's, at this point in my life, I'm going to be 67 years old. The only real success I'm really excited about is being a father.
Love it. I have kids.
I know.
So my answer was correct.
You were trying to explain. Are you yawning?
No, I did yawn.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, your eyes are.
It's not. It's
like your eyes are tearing up.
No, I'm just listening.
Is this
listening.
The most boring episode?
No, I'm just you've listening. Ever, I love
there
it.
There is nothing. But you're yawning.
I love everything you're saying.
But you're yawning.
And I'm
you're
truly.
You're going to make me yawn.
I bet I'll have everybody
I'm going to make you yawn too. I'm making Brittany
just
and
by saying
viewers
it.
Are yawning right
you
now.
You asked me a question and during my answer, you're yawning.
I'm a viewer right now. I'm literally just chilling, relaxing, listening.
Well, a little less relaxing would be.
I love everything you
you're
say.
You're over relaxed.
Because it adds so much. It adds so much to what I tell my viewers, and I think we're really brought up that money is happiness, and everything you're talking about right now.
No,
everything
no.
you're saying right now is what I push, and that is like, you've got to find personal joy in life to be happy. You can have all the money in the world; it doesn't make happiness.
But I think that people chase money because they think they can buy, because they're chasing because they can't pay the rent, because they want to know that their family and their kids are taken care of. So you're chasing money. You realize that if you don't, because I think the biggest stress that people have is their health and their finance, and maybe not in that order. It might be their finance and their health first. So when you chase that and you can relieve some of that stress, then they feel I can be content.
Yeah, I'm just talking about the way the media flaunts money. You need a Lamborghini to be happy. You need, you know, that's what I'm talking about. It doesn't actually make you happy. Maybe for a day. It'd be fun. Driving a Lamborghini.
Tell me what makes you happy so I can yawn.
First, you got to sit
back. What makes
back,
you happy?
Right? He's offended by that I yawned.
I'm not offended.
Can you tell him I yawn all the time? Tell him.
I've never seen you.
Dang it. Even worse, I'm drinking a Red Bull.
I know.
That's what's sitting. Making you yawn.
How fucking boring am I? I could bore you through a full can of Red Bull.
You know what it is? I hadn't taken a breath for about 3 minutes.
Why are you not breathing while I'm talking?
I was just so into it.
Let me have that.
So into it.
I want to yawn.
God, you never worked on a generator in that room. Was the room loud?
Yeah. There was a motor in the room. Not that I couldn't sleep by. It was the motor for the revolving.
And it would kick on through the night?
It was always on. It was a revolving fucking restaurant.
And
it
you
was,
and your wife stayed in there.
In the room with the motor.
Yeah.
I think we finished that story like 15 minutes
yeah,
ago.
I'm thinking,
I'm just mad
next.
About it.
What? No, what are you mad? That you want me to tell you?
That
bullshit.
Incorrect.
No. Oh, and then there was one night when the restaurant stopped revolving and they were going to lose all their customers because people had been, they said, Howie, can you fix it? And I go, give me a wrench. And I ran into my room and with one wrench, I was able to deploy the revolving restaurant.
Save the day.
Oh, but here's what happened. I don't know a lot about revolving motors. So I actually took the governor off by accident.
Mm.
And it sped up. And that revolving restaurant was going over 20 miles an hour. And I remember all the people and their meals stuck against the windows at the outside because the centrifugal force. But the worst part was in the men's room, because of the spinning, people were sucked into the urinal. They were just up against the wall in the urinal in their own piss, pressed.
I knew I remembered
I know this is a good story because you're not yawning through it.
I love
and
it.
It's bullshit.
I'm glad I kept
so
bringing it
So in order
up.
To keep you focused, I have to bullshit. I can't tell you any of my true stories.
I love it. Dang, I'll never yawn again.
Thank you.
Was there ever a moment where you're like starting to get recognized? Like, do you remember that? I remember
yeah,
what
when
it was
I was
for
on,
me.
Yeah, TV. The first time I did TV was a show called Make Me Laugh. And I did it, it was before your time, before you were even born. I did it in 1979. And that was because somebody saw me at the Comedy Store and said, are you interested in doing TV? And I went, yeah, which was so LA. And I went to his office at KTLA. It's the first time I went to a studio here in Hollywood. And I got to do Make Me Laugh, where the contestants were paid so much money for every second they didn't laugh. And we as comedians had to make them laugh. And now you're following a fly. Now you're following it. I'm talking.
The whole time
fly went by and he's on to the fly. If he's not yawning, he's trying to catch a f-ing fly.
I'm thinking of
like,
I'm
it's great
of,
to have a host with severe ADHD. He's either really tired. What? You should take some Adderall
before
each. I was just
thinking of a new show, make me yawn.
Did you hear the story? Because the fly, episode. You want to catch the fly?
I don't want the fly to land on you, and then we have another problem.
That would be horrific.
We have another problem.
God forbid a fly should land on
a guest.
Can
we get the fly guy in here? The studio's a dump.
Like, oh my god!
Well, there'd be less flies. You probably just shit yourself in the middle of my story. And that's why there's flies.
Right?
Did you
fly,
shit
bro.
Yourself? Do you yawn and have you ever? What if you yawn and shit?
Is impossible.
That like I know that is if it? You what?
I was really
your face. What? You were like, wait, I think I've done that.
No, yawning and shitting is impossible. No, I really but, thought about it. I don't know if I have.
Because there's shart when you think you're gonna fart and shit. But what if you yawn and shit? It's a yacht.
The problem with...
Which is not... Because it could be a floater, like a yacht.
I don't know where this is going.
Okay, so the game show, the contestants...
Make me laugh.
They got money, and then So I did that show. I taped it while I was here on my vacation and went home. And then people started to see it, you know? And I didn't know. It didn't air in Canada. And I got a call from something called the Merv Griffin Show and the Mike Douglas Show for talk shows to fly out and do comedy. And I went out and I would do those shows. I still had my day job.
This would have been huge, right?
Huge. But I realized when I came down here, just being on TV, you know, now there are 600 channels. There's the internet. You could be on TV every day. I can't tell you, even the number one show on network TV, CSI, can you name the cast members?
Nope.
I can't.
I cannot.
But I don't watch CSI.
But
it didn't matter.
It didn't matter. In those days, if somebody was on a television show, I never watched Dynasty, but I knew who all the cast members were. I didn't watch Happy Days, but I knew that who Fonzie and Richie was.
It was the platform. That was the platform.
The only platform.
Yeah.
I don't have to watch, you know, even now, I don't have to watch everything on YouTube. I know who big YouTube or sensational, like they're just stars that are on the internet. You know, I think people who don't watch Logan Paul know who Logan Paul is.
Correct.
Yeah.
So, and that's what TV was like then. So the fact that I was on TV, I was getting recognized. And I would do those shows and then fly home. And then Gene Simmons from Kiss called me and said, be the opening act for my girlfriend. And Kiss was at its best. And his girlfriend was Diana Ross. I became Diana Ross's opening act. So I just started getting work and I wasn't even chasing it. My whole career has been like that. You know, I started doing that and then I got a young comedian special on HBO. That's the thing that just blew me up. Then I was playing 15,000 seats, two shows a night.
Wow.
And I was on the young comedian special. It was me and Jerry Seinfeld and Harry Anderson, who was Night Court. He's starting a show called Night Court. And Richard Lewis, who's on Curb Your Enthusiasm. We were the kids. And it was hosted by the Smothers Brothers. And George Carlin's wife saw me at the Comedy Store and hired me to do that. And that was the biggest thing that I had done. That's the thing that kind of changed my life because people would come and see me and pay to see me after that.
And you're never just exhausted. You're never, never just like, you know what? I have it. I did it. I'm going to go buy a yacht and sail the seas.
No, I'm always chasing it because the truth of the matter is not you personally, but people, because we are in this, and I think you suffer from this too, because we're in the public eye, I think that your successes are the most prevalent to people. People see your life. They don't know what the failures and the heart. Mm. And I got to say, 99% of everything I do fails. You know, I just do a lot of shit.
Yeah, you certainly wouldn't know that.
But the point is that I don't think a day goes by when I'm not pitching an idea, when I'm not pitching a show, when I don't put up a post that goes nowhere, when I don't try to get somebody to do my podcast where they say no, where my days are filled with rejections and no's, though those are not on a public platform. What you see is when somebody says yes or I get a job, you see me hit. And the thing about life is I think most life, you know, it's like even exercising. You know, you see somebody who's really in good shape and built well, you know, 90% of getting there, it's probably really hurts. Mm. They're really sweaty. They're a mess. But you got to go, no pain, no gain, and that goes for life. And I think 90% of a career is pain. And you know what? But I love that. It's kind of like boxing. You know, if you like boxing, you got to get punched. You got to get knocked down, but you keep getting up. So I think most things, right before I was doing the podcast, you know, and I'm not going to go into specifics because it's not going to happen yet, but I was pitching, I'm doing business. That's what I do here. I'm pitching ideas.
Yeah.
Every hour, there's a new idea, something else to pitch. And it, way more, not even close to half. 90% of my pitches are no's.
Hmm. Just got to do a lot of pitches.
That's really inspiring, though.
Yeah, how do you keep the... dude, there's a lot of people that just can't find that motivation. Can't find that
joy. Or
they
get turned down.
I think that most people realize everybody is where they are in life because they're supposed to be there. Because you are the you are the architect of wherever you are. I think that we're taught wrongly that it's other people's responsibility to give you, to make you, to make you. But everybody, it's real easy to find an excuse not to show up.
Yeah.
It's really, you know, somebody said 99% of success is just showing up. Just do it. Mm-hmm. You know, the only difference between, and maybe this is a little bit of an exaggeration, but I don't think it's that much of an exaggeration. Elon Musk and anybody watching this is he did it and you didn't. You know, Steve Jobs, he did it and you didn't. Him and Steve Wozniak decided not to attend their classes at college. They were really interested in computer technology, and they spent their life in a garage in their house trying to create something that on paper sounds like a stupid idea. IBM was already making computers. Mm. He wanted to make them where they're just more useful and lighter, probably even more expensive. He just did it. Mm-hmm. And you know what? Because he did it, we saw it. It's the way we do business today. You're carrying an iPhone because of that. By the same token, Elon Musk, his first idea of PayPal is just a he saw the internet was there. How do people exchange currency? It's just an idea. He had a really good idea. I don't think he did it himself. He had engineering friends. He had other things. He just said, this is a good kind of simple idea. And he sold PayPal. And now because he sold PayPal for hundreds of millions of dollars, he could say to another friend, well, there's got to be a way. Why is all the contracts for space? We could probably build a rocket. You know, I have this money. It would cost me this. Just connect with the right people. I'm not saying everybody listening and watching is Elon Musk, but the only difference between the people that you consider successful and you is they did it, you didn't. Mm. And if you did do it and you failed, you stopped. You didn't do it again. I would imagine, you know, anybody who has any success at anything, Michael Jordan didn't make his high school basketball team.
That's crazy.
He gave up. I mean, he didn't give up.
Yeah.
A lot of people in his position, he just spent hours and hours taking shots and working it and working. Not everybody could be Michael Jordan, but you could be your own. You couldn't be always at a level up than you are, and it's nobody else's fault that you're not.
That's the get out of jail, though. Is just blame other people.
It's easier than blaming yourself.
The second step is learning that it's on you.
It's all on you.
Yeah.
Everybody's where they need to be. It's not because something bad.
Or you know, not even blaming people. I mean, how many times has someone said to you, like, oh, I really want to be a vlogger. I want to do this. I just don't have a nice camera.
Oh,
or I don't have... I want to be a streamer. I don't have a nice computer. I don't have this. It's like you go, you got your phone?
Yep.
It's like start something. If your content's good, it'll go there. You'll start making, then you do that. But everyone wants to ask like or make an excuse that I don't have this.
Or if they put up like 100 videos that go nowhere, put up 101, put up 200. Mm-hmm. Just keep going. You know, it's just, and that's the rule of every business there is. Just don't give up. Just Nike says it. Just do it.
Just do it. Smile more. Two incredible brands. Don't yawn. You know, people are going to comment that they yawn during that part. You know, the yawn's very contagious, Howie.
Is this, be honest with me, is this a really boring episode?
Not at all. I love it. I love it.
This is my favorite.
You're backing up everything I tell my viewers for the last 5 years.
I know, but the fact that you two love it, we need like more than 60. Don't you want more than 16 people to love it?
16? Are you you told me a story once about a... maybe we don't get into that. I don't know. Yeah, it was a great story.
You could edit.
You told me a story.
Oh, when I fixed the engine when I was working on the motor in the room.
The bathroom story, incredible. Yeah. No, it's a story about it's lonely at the top. You were the first person to ever say that to me.
I said that?
You said that to me.
I don't think I've ever been at the top.
Well.
Oh, I said that there's a restaurant upstairs in that building.
You said that to me the first time I ever heard it. And you went on to the story about your personal driver that ended up basically stealing from you. for years and you never knew about it.
I did have a driver that ended up taking my credit, using my credit cards. He had my credit card. Yeah. And I just started noticing, and he was just a friend, and he was, you know. And,
but you considered him a close friend, yeah?
I did. And when you're ripped off by close friends, and I've been ripped off by a bunch of close friends, you know, I was ripped off by a business manager. I was ripped off by a driver. I was ripped off. You know, you really have to be your own security. You know, I mean, you have to be aware of who you surround yourself with and what's happening. And yeah. And luckily, I do watch. But actually, even with my business manager, I have there's a guy that is my good friend. You know, Rich.
Yep.
Rich works with me for now 30 years. I don't think I would have found that. He noticed it. But you know, I'm surrounded by good people. So then, when something kind of makes its way into my life, I feel like I have a small group of people that I trust with everything that can really help protect me. But I don't remember saying it's lonely at the top. It's just not something I don't think I would say.
Well, you forgot about the generator story, so I can see how you could forget
it's
about
lonely
that.
Lonely, because but I'll be honest with you, because I don't think I'm at the top. I don't think I'm anywhere near the top.
Howie, I never forget when you said that to me. We're standing in my house, in my kitchen, leaning on the counter, looking eye to eye.
Yeah, but you thought I told you the engine.
It's very true. I could be totally making this
up. You have a tendency to almost fall asleep during people's conversations, and then you probably may go into your own dream world where, oh, he's at the top and he's lonely. And how did he get to the top? He fixed engines in his room. You make up stories.
You were just talking about...
Do some research before you do a podcast.
You were just talking about being naked, peeing in a corner. That's pretty lonely.
That's Howard Hughes, not me. I'm saying...
You said you're not far from that.
Are you giving signals?
I don't know what he's doing back there. Camera.
Are we about the vlog?
No.
I'm on a podcast. Somebody's looking at me.
He's telling you your time's up.
No, he doesn't.
Flash the light at you.
Work together. He's just looking. You can come in.
Oh, that's Proto.
Yeah, Proto. Have you talked about Proto?
No.
You don't have to, but
you need visuals for that.
Yeah. Are you going to put up my very first AI where I tell watch Roman?
They already have seen it. Yeah, it was in a vlog weeks ago. By the time this comes up.
By the time this comes up.
Isn't that wild?
Wait, this is not live? Yeah. So this is like, I recorded this weeks ago,
yeah,
and now it's online.
Isn't that weird?
So I could be watching this.
You could. Say hi to yourself.
Howie, remember when you did this podcast?
Let's all yawn.
Oh, that's going to make me yawn.
It is. It's contagious.
So is syphilis.
Is it?
I think yawning is better than syphilis.
It has
make
to be.
Make t-shirts.
It has
yawning is better than syphilis. Smile more.
It would sell. It would sell.
Could be part of the Smile More brand.
And on the back it says, but just as contagious.
Just as contagious.
He's a marketing genius.
It's yours, dude. You can have it.
I'll take it.
What's going on with you, Alex?
I'm just...
Come on.
Oh, am I...
Your dad is chatting it away. What's up?
What are you the host.
We have a lot of past.
We do have a lot of past. Yeah, I. How long has it been since we even? This is the first time I've seen you guys in person in
years.
4 years.
It's horrible because I used to basically live with you.
Yeah, I know that we've baked cookies.
Shower together.
I've done
together.
Your laundry.
You did.
Yeah.
Every time you talk to him, it's more disturbing for me.
I folded.
You've
his
taken
underwear.
Baths together. He does your laundry.
Be like, Roman, I'm sorry to wake you, but your underwear's done.
Yeah.
He was very nice host.
No, the thing is at that point, I was doing a lot of kind of at a much smaller scale of what you were doing with the vlogs and things like that. But I had come from learning traditional media from working with my dad, and that was great for me. And I worked my way up to, you know, even being a producer on that show that you got to host, which was Deal With It.
Yeah.
And that was amazing opportunity. And then I started to learn from that point that we would have certain ideas, and there was people on set, not necessarily that show, but a lot of different shows that were saying, you can't do it this way, or I know it's funny, but it doesn't work like that. You can't do that. So I really started to – I just liked entertainment also from just being raised in it with him, and I loved his hidden camera stuff, and I started watching so much more YouTube, and whenever I would be at home, I'd watch, and then I found your videos, and I was like, he doesn't have to ask anyone.
Yeah, it was a different world. And to us YouTubers, we were like, the dream, let's get on TV.
But the thing was, is when I, my goal was not only to do that for myself and try to make my own thing, I wanted to bring him
into the shower.
Sheesh.
not quite. Would have been a viral video. It's weird.
TikTok coming soon.
It would have been more viral.
But I remember you coming on the set of the TV show going, oh my God. Look at all these people.
Right?
You know, it's
you have to pay. How much does this cost? And he told you how much like an episode costs. And you're like, Yen, you probably get more views on each video you do. Absolutely.
I do remember being mind blown at the production level and the people. And I was walking around thinking like every one of these people costs so much money. The gear, the equipment, wow.
But AGT is like 300 people behind the scenes that you don't see.
But he also didn't... And of course, it always takes education into looking into something new that you haven't done. He used to walk in, I'd be sitting in the morning and I didn't find a job going to do something else. This time I was like, I really want to do YouTube or I want to do something online. So I'd sit there for hours and I wouldn't even put clothes on. I'd sit in my underwear. He'd walk in the room. He goes, you're sitting here in your underwear on your computer.
You were the guy in the comment section.
But I wasn't. I was trying to work on my own stuff. I was like doing really weird things. If I can, maybe if I dance in my
gummy bear.
Yeah, if I dance in my room with a weird outfit and everything like that, and like, it was kind of cool because even that video went on to the Ellen Show.
Yep.
And I was like,
I remember that video.
Yeah, and I was like, oh, that's cool. So I was trying different things, and he kept saying, "You can't do that. You need to go out and find a real job." I go, "It is a real job," and. What's kind of similar, and I'm sure you have talked about it or you will talk about it, is the way that you started seeing it as a business is I remember showing him that a video made like a few dollars, right. Whatever it was. And that was eye-opening for him to see that, wait, if you keep pushing that scale, you could make money doing that. And it wasn't about the money, but then he started realizing that that's actually a direction you can go and you can do that. And I really wanted to dive in. I was like, I got to go to these conventions. I got to learn everything about it. I want to meet my favorite people I watch. So I had like a paper list of people I wanted to meet. And so like
his kill list.
Yeah.
His hit list.
So I went and I was like, I remember telling you, I was like, I know how to use a camera. I know how to do all this stuff. If you ever need help with anything.
I'll fold your underwear. That's what got me.
But you called me, and it was because you didn't have a camera guy for the first video was with the Dudesons throwing popcorn on the beach by the Santa Monica Pier.
Oh, was that the first?
Very first one. And you were like, hey, thank you for coming out and helping me with that. I'll buy you lunch.
What an epic video.
Yeah.
That's the start of a great friendship, man.
Yeah.
I freaking love you.
That was the start of lunch.
Yeah.
No, but you were the start of me going into that realm. And now everything I do, I've worked with large brands, everything from big energy drink companies to doing social media stuff for Ford Motors, for different things. And the social media skills and that I built through the years, that's kind of because what you guys gave me in as like a gift of seeing that world and learning about that. Is that's what got me started, and that's also what I brought back home to him. And he does so much stuff on social media. He was the first big, what you would consider traditional star that blew up on TikTok. Mm. TikTok would tell us no other stars doing that at this kind of numbers.
The bigger numbers was Ashton Kutcher, but I was the first person
on TikTok.
Ashton was way before me. But here's what I did that nobody did. Oh, on TikTok, you're right.
I'm talking about TikTok, not Twitter.
MySpace.
On Twitter, I was the first one to tweet live
in
a television show. And they threatened to fire me.
Really?
Oh, they didn't want – NBC did not want me to tweet live.
Now that's such a hit.
Now they tell you, you're not tweeting.
Yeah. Why aren't you tweeting?
Yeah.
God, things changed so fast.
Because he loved it too, that he loved doing live comedy because if you make a joke, you see the people react right there. Mm-hmm. You're not doing a TV show and seeing how they react. Mm-hmm. So the thing is with social media too is you could post something and read how people take it in right there.
Mm-hmm.
So I would post something with him in it, like do this video with me, and he'd go, what are they saying? How many views does it have? And he loves that you could see that almost like you're doing your live show. You get that instant feedback, which you couldn't do off a TV show. But that's, I mean, now I'm your kind of digital arm in your company, and I have my team, and
that's almost more important to me than anything that I do in traditional television.
That's cool.
So we found a way to bring it in, and the whole family works. He does his traditional stuff. I have the digital arm. We all work together. in this, and it allows us to, you know, he's hosting his podcast with my sister. I produce it with my team.
Yeah.
So we get to all work together.
Well, there's barely been anybody through my whole career that's treated us better than you guys. Mm-hmm. Like, for real. We always think of you guys like family, and we're so thankful.
Well,
so inspiring.
We love you guys, too.
Howie, I see you on the internet. I'm like, there's got to be four of this guy because you're everywhere. You're on TikTok, Instagram Reels, YouTube, podcasting, TV.
I'm amazing.
You are.
No, I am.
It's inspiring.
When I think about it, I'm inspired. I am. I didn't realize till I did
the
this
real deal
podcast how amazing am I? Really? How lucky are you to have me as a dad?
I'm lucky to be sitting here.
That's amazing.
What year was the show that you did?
Oh, God. Deal with it?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know. So what year was Deal With It on, Rich?
It's another lifetime ago. Must have been 15, 2015.
No. Oh, 2015. I thought you meant 15 years ago.
Oh, 2015, probably.
Probably.
15, 16.
That sounds right.
That was the first podcast you ever did because you did Theo Vaughn's. Theo Vaughn was doing podcasts back
in 2015.
Then?
Yeah. It was just a table with a recorder. That's it.
Really?
And he had Roman on.
Yeah.
I would love to hear that.
I would too. I don't think I ever heard it. Maybe nobody did.
What is it?
2013.
Holy smokes.
That's 10 years.
About 10 years.
Wow. So Theo's been doing it a long time.
And for those of you who are watching an old episode of Roman's podcast, this is like 30 years ago.
Right? If this, that's wild to think about. I've never thought about it like that.
Yeah, people don't watch it right away.
No, they don't.
No, and they go back to they watch another episode and then they click on other ones.
I may have just died and they're cycling my old content.
Don't say that.
I'm just saying, 30
possible.
Years.
Possible.
Right?
Possible. That's why this episode is going viral.
Did you say 7 years?
70.
Oh, jeez.
Wow. You missed by nothing, by zero.
It's interesting to think about. All your content will live on.
Yeah.
What do you want to say to the people? You said it already.
I want to ask Alex, how's the dating life in LA? I think that's always my favorite thing to ask you when I come to LA.
Yeah, I think this is a good conversation. I'm sure your dad has some...
They push for it all the time. I will give you grandchildren. I'm trying.
What's
yeah,
this,
but you can't kidnap children. You're not allowed to take other people's children and just give them to us.
I do go on dates here and there. They're just not – it is different in L.A., and I'm not going to crap on L.A. at all. I don't think it's L.A.'s fault, and a lot of people say it's harder in L.A. I think it's harder in which groups you choose to meet people, and some people have – the right intentions. Some people don't. It is tougher though when they know our family. There's a lot more.
Yeah.
Reason.
Wasn't there a girl years ago that you offered to take pictures for her, and then she came over and just took all her clothes off.
Naked pictures.
You remember this?
Yeah. I didn't know that until she said, "I'm going to get ready for the shoot." No, I knew that. I mean, I know it. Yeah, I did.
But you basically, I'll do photos.
But you weren't a photographer.
You weren't a photographer.
No.
He knows how to work a camera, though.
I know how to work a camera.
Why did she think you were a photographer?
Someone she knew said, like, she goes, "Do you know someone who can help me with a shoot, whatever. And
the money shot.
And they said, "I think Alex does that." And they're like, and one thing he has always taught me, and I don't know if it's good advice, but it's helped me a lot, is just say yes. So like, "Do you know how to do this? Do you do this?" Yeah. Because I know, sure. I'll figure it out.
No problem.
So like, there's a lot of people that a job will come to them and they go, "Yeah, but are you good with this?" And they'll be like, "No, I'm not." And they're not going to get the job.
True.
But I feel like every skill you could do, you could learn. You could watch YouTube videos. Yeah, you can do everything.
So why say no to porn?
Just lie about it.
Well, to me, it was a photography job. And I was like, I could do that.
Porn.
Walk me through the story, Alex, from step one. You meet this girl. Come on, tell me like a story. You're a viewer. You're ready to dig into a little intimacy.
Get a call.
Play some music.
And she actually texts me, not call. She said, "You don't know me, but your friend so-and-so," I won't say a name.
Wait, if you're going to tell a story, I really like my sandwich. Can I have my sandwich?
Yeah.
It's that boring.
No, your it's story not boring. Is that it's boring. Just, a, it's just no, great no. to eat by.
He needs food.
Yeah. Thanks.
So she texts you. You don't know who this girl is.
I don't know who she is. I've never met her before. She's new in town.
Can we get a louder sandwich?
She's new in town.
Can we get some fireworks?
And when someone's new in LA and they need shots done, what would you expect they need?
Just headshots,
things like that. Yeah. That's what's common in LA. They were like, you know, you have cameras. And my friend that...
there's people that love this. This is ASMR.
Oh, yeah.
Can we get a bite like that?
Yeah. You see right in the middle of the story, though.
Yeah, put that right there.
Go ahead.
Okay, sorry. I'm always interrupted by you.
Keep telling the story. Keep telling the story.
So, should I tell it like this now? So she comes over.
I can almost hear the story. I can hear it. I can hear it walking.
She's walking. She comes up the elevator.
Hang on. What's that sound? I hear her.
That's her walking on my wet floors.
We've just lost half the viewers, too.
That's disgusting.
Oh, aren't we turning people on?
Howie's devouring this sandwich. Your shirt is crumbs. You're a mess right now.
Come on, I'm going to go my home.
I don't want to hear this. Subway, I want to hear this story. They are not. It'd be a great one, though.
This story can't hold its own this long.
Nothing says eat fresh like this story.
No, yeah, yeah. So anyway, she comes over, and she actually is with her boyfriend at the time. And she sends her boyfriend downstairs because she's like, it's going to make you uncomfortable. And I was like, I don't know why. Like, it's fine.
Just doing headshots.
Yeah. So I go and I get a lens, and I don't have that many lenses. The thing is I was vlogging at the time. So the lens is like for clothes. I don't have like a zoom lens or anything like that. I was just using pretty much what I needed.
Yeah.
She said, okay, where can I get ready? And I go, oh, here. It's fine. I thought the nicest room to use was his room.
Perfect.
You know this was in your room, right?
I do.
Yeah, he does. And I come out and I go, oh, I'm so sorry. Like, if you walk out and there's a naked girl on the bed, I didn't think I was supposed to see that.
You always apologize.
So I go, sorry. She goes, for what?
You should. I always taught my son, as soon as a woman is naked, apologize.
Because they never take their clothes off for our family.
See, she said she's ready. You walk in, she's naked.
I walk in and she says, I was like, I'm so sorry. She goes, for what? What happened? I go, I don't know what happened. I don't know what's happening. She goes,
so she's standing naked in my room and my son is apologizing. She goes, for what? And he's looking at this naked woman going, I don't know what is happening.
I don't know. And then she goes, and I was trying to be as serious as possible. And I said, okay. She goes, what position should I be in for the shoot? Are we doing it here? And I said,
he's picking a position now.
Did you start like unbuckling your belt?
No. And then I started getting a little nervous. I didn't know what was happening. I was like, this is okay. I have this camera. I will do it. I was like, I kind of don't want to be here alone. Do I call a friend over? Like, she's not going to know what I'm talking about. I could say they hold the boom mic. There's no boom mic for photography, but you know, she doesn't know that.
A naked girl, a camera, and a boom mic.
Yeah, we didn't do that though.
For those that are just listening, boom mic is
you hold it up.
You hold it up, and it's like got a big foam thing.
So what was the first position? How did this go down?
I couldn't look her in the face. So I said, turn around.
Okay.
So turn around. So there's a bunch of pictures. And I was like, oh, maybe like put your heels back on, like cross your ankles. Cool. These are artsy. And then she goes, okay.
They weren't artsy. It's just all these pictures of a naked girl from the back with her legs twisted.
The thing is I didn't have a zoom lens. So I had to get in there. Yeah. I was like,
how'd the photos come out?
And he says zoom out loud.
The photos, I think they look great.
She like them? Did her boyfriend like them?
Well, that was the thing, was she asked if I'd be comfortable with her boyfriend coming upstairs to review photos with us. So we went on the computer and reviewed like 250 photos that we had taken. And, you know, she actually passed my number on to more friends to do shoots. I didn't do any more.
You didn't?
No.
And did it bring you joy?
You know, it brought me a story.
It's a great story. I mean, that's like how many guys would just dream for that to happen to them?
Can I ask something? How come you don't yawn during his story?
He's talking about naked girls, Howie.
I'm eating. Continue.
You know, this is a good show of if he's not working or if he's not currently doing something, he has to be like, there's a lot of things. This is my life growing up. So in the middle of a story, like in the car, we'll be driving and he'll just start like taking the volume and doing stuff or doing weird things or making noises or saying things. And it just, you know, we can't tune him out. He makes sure we can't.
You like the movie business? Go ahead. Tell me.
I'll tell you. He doesn't.
You've been in some big movies, though.
Yeah.
Take your time.
I don't enjoy doing movies.
all of that for that, dude.
I don't. It just takes so long. It's just not... First of all, I'm at the mercy of somebody else who wrote the lines, tells me where to stand, edits it from, takes it from 20 different angles, and then edits it together, which is, you can do that here.
Mm.
But it's just you spend all day long in a trailer. Wrap it up.
No, he wants your mic closer to the sub.
Uncle.
Oh, my gosh. Mm.
Roman's Lunch Pod.
Should we do an ad read for Subway just in case? Should we just
reach out?
Do we have a promo code?
Do you have any? Do you have an ad read?
No, I'm not doing an ad read.
Why not?
Can I tell them why?
No, I'm trying to keep the show very healthy right now.
Really?
Eat fresh.
Well, it's really an eat fresh. You guys are into.
Yeah, big Subway fans. Big Subway.
No,
fans.
But you guys are really into health. The health stuff?
You know, lately we've been trying. It's hard.
I know,
it's
I
hard.
Heard. You go
it's hard when
saunas.
You travel.
They've been sauning, yeah.
It's hard when you travel, but LA's the spot to try.
Because I find that I spend like 8 hours in a trailer, and then you go out and do one line, and then you go back into the trailer.
Mm.
Put that answer with, why don't you like movies?
Cool.
I'm just giving you
that's easy
editing notes.
So he was just complaining about having control of his content, and then he tells us how to control the content.
No,
I love it.
I don't want to confuse your viewer.
You did tell me though before this, and I don't know if this was something you were saying that you don't want said. But it's interesting that you were always the creator, and you're still creating. But when you do a podcast, it's kind of tough because then all of a sudden you're on the creator's time or whoever you're trying to get the guest, and you've never had to do that.
Yep, I've never had to be on the other side where I'm asking a guest to come onto my show, and now I'm on their time. When are you available? And that's always been, it's always been me being asked to be on a show, and I say I'm available or not. So that's strange.
Mm-hmm.
That's strange.
It's weird not being the center of attention, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, a lot of times, since he doesn't like those little rejections he was talking about before and stuff like that, we will go, these guests that he knows personally doesn't want to necessarily always ask them. He does ask a lot of guests himself and does that. But some of them, he goes, you ask. And that way, if we get the no or they don't want to do it, that doesn't.
I feel that 100%.
Alex.
Yeah.
We ask Roman if he'll be on my podcast.
We're going to be on. Will you be?
I told you earlier today, next time we're in town, or after this podcast.
Why don't we just do it after this?
We could jump over.
How long?
Yeah, because you were going to do another one, but your guest said no to you.
Yeah, that's...
just kidding.
How long is this episode? How long? This is like an incredibly long episode.
Yeah, what...
Oh, wow.
How long? Are you at?
140.
Oh, come on. Really?
Hour and 40? Wow. How long do you want to go? You said 3 hours, right?
No.
He's
I'll
done.
Be honest with you.
You have so many crumbs on you.
He's a mess.
I'm finished.
Get a vacuum.
I'm finished.
Like you talk to me right through lunch.
Yeah.
Or dinner. Whenever the peaceful are
I went
watching.
Past the time.
I got to eat. My blood sugar goes down. If I don't eat, there's health reasons. I'm eating fresh.
I've heard that you have to eat.
Tuna, tomatoes, and mustard. That's a sandwich.
I've heard that. Some science stuff. I don't know. So what else? We give something to the viewer? Or are we done?
What do you mean? I've been here an hour and 40 minutes, and now you're saying give something to the viewer?
Give them something. Give them something.
I think that was amazing.
Like it's been nothing up till now. They've had nothing.
I actually love everything you've said. But if there's anything else, you know, well, sign off.
I think that's amazing, and I feel like you save everything else, especially what you want to ask Roman.
That's true.
For
that's
Holly's
true.
Podcast.
That's true. We probably shouldn't hit the 2-hour mark.
You generally tape this long?
No, we just roll with it. We have no set time.
Really?
Yeah. Just whatever happens, happens.
But now, you know what you should do? You should cut this to 20 minutes, but then keep in the part when he goes, we're at an hour 40. So people go, the fuck cut out? What was so terrible that we couldn't hear?
20 minutes. Now, we're always doing an hour minimum. That's like my mental. I want to hit an hour. Then from there, whatever.
The podcast?
Yeah. Well, yeah, I like that.
Maybe someone watching the podcast, maybe I'll find a date through your podcast.
You know, at this point.
No. Everyone's tried. You even said you need to come stay in Ohio for a little bit and find someone nice in Ohio.
You could find
Ohio women.
You could find a Outback Steakhouse probably has a nice waitress.
Oh my God. Outback Steakhouse is a hotbed for dating.
Yeah. Look at her blooming onions.
It's a hotbed.
And on that note.
Perfect way to sign it off.
I'm almost finished my sandwich. Let me just finish my sandwich. That's cool.
You want to finish it? Huh? You could do that in a bite.
No,
what? You're milking it.
Just for a minute.
You're milking it.
Let's just close.
Okay. All right. How many?
Do you roll credits?
Do I what?
Roll credits.
I thought you said, do you grow carrots?
Do you grow carrots? I've never grown a carrot.
Sounded like that.
It feels like you guys might have taken a shot before this.
Oh, we didn't even tell the story. Well, that's all right. It was in the vlog. They already
got
seen
no
it.
Time.
That was 3 weeks ago.
All right. Oh, I'm a mess. I gotta go.
Should have put a bib on this guy.
Put a bib on it.
All right. We're signing off. Thank you, Alex. Thank you, Howie. Freaking love you guys. We'll see you over on Howie's podcast.
I'm pulling there now.
And
we're back on the vlog.
Vlog's rolling. We love you guys. You're beautiful. You're one of a kind. Smile more.
Yay.
Thanks,
that
guys.
That was amazing. I've definitely not laughed that much ever.
Ever?
Never.
All right. That's a wrap. First podcast of the day. We're going to...